speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Tonight I want to talk about the walk that we have as Christians. As we look to the Old Testament Scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and verse 6, God says unto His children at that time that they were to be strong and that they were also to be of good courage. He did not want them to fear or to fear others who would come and oppose them. God not only said those words to the children of Israel, friends, He also said those same words to Joshua. As Joshua and Caleb are going to lead Israel into the Promised Land, God identifies that He has chosen him to lead His people on into the land of promise. And He tells Joshua to be strong and to be of good courage. And then the next verse of Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and then verse 8, He says, "Be strong and be very courageous." Why? Because it's going to be a very challenging thing as you're going on into the Promised Land. He wanted Joshua to understand this, and he wanted his children to know is that serving him sometimes would not be popular. And we look to our lives today, and serving Christ is by far the greatest thing that one can ever do. Being a New Testament Christian is what life is really and truly all about. But yet at the same time, it is very challenging. People want to try our faith. People want to destroy us and our relationship that we have with God. And we know that the devil is at work in the backdrop. And as we look to living faithful before God, I believe that God wants you and me to be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. As we look to the book of 2 Timothy, it was written by the Apostle Paul to a young evangelist that is known in Scripture as Timothy. The first epistle is a book where that Paul wanted this man to understand that he was to teach sound doctrine unto the church and that he was to instruct this sound doctrine so that the church would go forth then with a proclamation of this sound doctrine in their worship service as well as in their everyday walk of life. In the second epistle, as Paul writes unto Timothy, he wants him to remember his faith. He also wants him to remember the Lord and to not be ashamed. And then he tells Timothy that he has a responsibility as an evangelist, as a preacher, as a minister, to remind the saints of their walk with the Lord. Friends, as we go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul begins this in saying, "You therefore, my son." Paul considered Timothy his son in the faith, and that he looked to the things that this man was doing, and as a result of the time that Paul spent with him, I believe that Paul not only loved this man, but that he felt very responsible for where he was in his walk and service with the Lord. As he begins this, he says, "You therefore." The therefore draws our attention back to the things that has been said in the first chapter. He identifies as that all in Asia had turned away from him, except for one individual. And that one individual is identified as an individual of faith, as well as an example of what it means to stand strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you and I look to standing strong in our God, I want to draw from the context here in an expository style lesson as to what God identifies as to the way in which we will be able to be successful in standing strong before God. To begin with here, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he says that you need to endure hardship as a good soldier. And when we think in regard to as a good soldier, Paul wanted Timothy to understand that you are in a fight that is far greater than any fight that God's people have ever faced. Israel faced physical fights in the past, but now, as a child of God, as a New Testament Christian, and as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now Timothy was going to face a spiritual warfare. But not only does Timothy face that warfare, friends, each and every one of us as Christians also engage in the battle against the devil. And I believe that it's very significant that the Apostle Paul uses a term in this to identify not only is he a servant, not only is he a soldier in the Lord's army, but that he's going to have to endure. There are going to be some very challenging times that Timothy is going to face. And as we read in regard to his personal ministry, we know that he did. And not only does this man face those challenges each and every day of our life as Christians, we face challenges. And God wants us as a good soldier to prepare for the battle, to make sure that we understand who the enemy is. And not only that we understand who the enemy is, but also then as we are preparing for the battle and studying from the Word of God, then that we engage in the fight, that we do not wave the red flag and give up, but rather that we continue to march on as a brave soldier, as a strong soldier, as a courageous, very courageous warrior in the Lord's army. He then also gives us a second type of an individual that Paul encourages Timothy to consider as he is serving as an evangelist in the Lord's church. But this demonstration is also given for you and me today. He identifies one who is competing as an athlete. And the individual who is competing as an athlete, they need to understand that if they're going to be able to receive the crown, and that's what it's all about, not just being in the race, but rather being able to finish the race and to receive the crown. If they're going to receive that crown, then they must also run according to the rule book. According to the law is what Paul has laid down to Timothy in his writings here in this epistle. And friends, you and I also need to make sure that we are training as an athlete, that we understand that whenever we put Christ on in baptism, that that enters us in the race. And that it's much more than a quick burst of energy, but rather that we understand that we are to run long and hard, continually, faithfully, keeping our eyes fixed upon the prize where that Christ is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 3. And as we train, then we also must understand what the rules are. Individuals who run in races in this secular world of which we live in, there are rules that they must abide by. And if they do not run according to the rules, then they are disqualified. They may become disqualified during the race or even after the race. And we have seen time and again where that individuals have even won in the race or won in a sporting event and still they have that prize ripped from them. Why? Because they did not compete according to the rules. And God gives us the rules as to how we need to train and the way in which we must run as the athlete that He expects us to be. And then also in the context then, the Apostle Paul gives a third example, and that third example identifies a farmer, an individual who is serving in the field. And this one who is serving in the field, they need to serve faithfully in the fields as a farmer. I remember growing up on the farm, more so on my grandparents' farm. We lived about a mile from them, and it was such a joy to be able, looking back on it, to go and to work with them. At the time, it seemed like kind of a hardship. You see, I was a typical teenager. I would have rather gone off and done what others were doing. And yet at the same time, looking back on it, the farm and my grandparents and my parents having gotten me involved in those things kept me probably out of a lot of trouble. But as I recall working on the farm with my granddad and my dad, a lot of hard work went into the farm work. You had to prepare the soil and then also to plant. And as you were working in the field and working on the tractor, I can relate with what the Lord tells us is that the one who looks back at plowing the field, that they're not fit for the kingdom. And friends, why? Because they will not be able to lay off the rows properly. And God wants us to understand that as we are working in His kingdom, serving, striving each day to serve faithfully as a farmer in the field, is that we need to work hard. And then whenever we work hard, that we will indeed be able to reap the harvest whenever we stand before our God in judgment. As Paul closes out this first section in verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he calls upon this man to consider what it is that he has said. He says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Friends, God wanted Timothy, and He also expects you and me to examine the words of the Apostle Paul. But not only the things that the Apostle Paul tells us, we need to examine the fullness of the Scripture. The Old Testament Scripture serves as an example for us. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "Wherefore things written aforetime were written for our learning." And the New Testament Scripture serves as matters of doctrine and practical things that we need, that we must know, in order for us to stand before God faithfully here in this world, but also so that we will be able to stand as one of His faithful children in the day of judgment. We need to be people who examine the Word, and as we read and study from the Scripture, that we think about, that we consider, that we examine, that we meditate upon the message that God lays before us. And why is that so important? Because then we will understand the type of soldier God wants us to be. We will see the rules that God lays before us, and we will understand that all the hard work that is involved in being a Christian. And Paul wanted Timothy to understand those things and to consider them, to examine them, and then to apply them to his ministry as what God would want you and me today as Christians, as His children, to apply them to our everyday walk of life. He goes on in this context to say that if we die with Him, we shall also live with Him. Well, under consideration here of dying with the Lord to also be able to live with Him, there are two types of death that we go through, or that we should go through in life. The first begins in baptism, where we bury the old man in baptism, and then we are raised to walk in newness of life. And as a result of our baptism and putting to death that old man in that watery grave, friends, now we are able to live as a child of God. He gives us life. Even though that we have physical life, now He gives us spiritual life. But if we die with Him physically in the Lord, then we will also be able to live with Him eternally. And I believe that there is at least in part tones here that would help us to understand that we need to live faithful before God each and every day of our life. And the broader context here in this immediate context also helps to expound upon that. He says, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. There's no doubt about it. He is speaking about the need for Christians to be faithful in life. And again, here he has employed this same word, endure. It means that it's going to be challenging from time to time. It means that it's more than just a moment that it's going to take place, but rather it's throughout the course of our life. And we need to be in it for the long haul. We need to be in it to win it. And then we will be able to reign with the Lord if we endure. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, Jesus said that only whenever we endure that we will be able to be saved. We are saved when we are baptized, but only remaining faithful before God will give us eternal salvation in that day. He goes on to explain to Timothy, "Timothy, if we deny Him, He also will deny us." And I'm reminded of what the Old Testament Scripture tells us, that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Those individuals, they deny the Lord. And we would call them atheists. And what that means is that they do not believe in God. But there's also individuals who are skeptical. And we identify them with a word today that's agnostic or agnosticism. And these individuals claim is that there is insufficient evidence to prove whether there is a God or not. And therefore, in reality, what do? They deny the Lord. They do not receive Him. They never obey the Lord. But then also, there are those who are believers who truly deny the Lord, do they not? They claim to know God, but still at the same time, their life, their worship is not in line with God. Because they do not do things, no matter which category or group of people we're speaking about, Because they're not doing what God commands them to do, it's as if they've denied the Lord, and the Lord says that He will also deny them in that day, whenever they will stand before God in judgment. And then He draws a very interesting point here, I believe, in the context of verse 8. He says, if we are faithless, He will remain faithful. No matter where we are in our lives, God will always be faithful. Why? Because that's the way He is. It's the way that God has always been. Ever since man has ever known God, that's the way in which God has come across. When God told the patriarchs that He was going to do something, friends, He did it. Whenever God explained to the children of Israel that they needed to do this or that, or that they would suffer consequence, or whenever God told them that He was going to deliver them into the promised land, whatever God said, pro or con, He always followed through with it. And today, you and I also can rest upon the faithfulness of God to know that no matter what it is that we do in our lives, if we turn from faith, God's still going to be faithful. And therefore, for those who stand firm to Him, He's going to give them that reward that He, as the faithful judge, will give in the day of judgment. And to the faithless, then they too shall receive the condemnation that is spelled out continually through Scripture. What is it that God says in this immediate context also that will help us to be strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We need to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. In this context, it's given to Timothy. Timothy, you've got to study. Timothy, you've got to examine. Timothy, you've got to go and you've got to remember where you've come from. Timothy, you've got to remember what it is that Jesus Christ has gone through. And now He's going to explain to him later on. You've also now got to remind the brethren. But first and foremost, you've got to show yourself approved unto God. The King James Version says, study to show yourself approved unto God. The original language, and the New King James actually translates it better. It says, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. For a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, God has given us His inspired word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And while God has given us His Word, He wants us to spend time in His Word so that we will know Him, so that we will be able to see His plan of salvation and obey it. And then, as we would put Christ on in baptism and strive each day to live faithful, then we must also understand how to rightly divide the Word so that we are not like the religious world who gets caught up in all kinds of man-made doctrine. We need to be diligent to show ourselves approved to God on a continual basis. And then he goes on to explain in this immediate context that we need to stand clear of the evil and profane babblings. We talked in part, at least a little bit this morning, about saying things about others. And it even goes a little further here about getting involved in gossip and things. And as we look about this, he says to shun those things. That's the original language. And to shun means that I'm not going to have anything at all to do with it. We're wise enough to see those things that are profane. We're smart enough to pick out and to say, God's not going to be happy with this or that. And therefore, I'm going to stand clear. I'm not even going to go around those things. And God says that we'll be well on our way to standing strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we approach things from that type of an attitude, a Christian-type attitude. But then he also identifies here in the context to flee also youthful lust, every form of youthful lust. Children of God are commanded, expected to stay away from. How were they going to be able to do that? What did Paul expect Timothy to do? He says that you will flee youthful lust, Timothy, by pursuing righteousness, by looking to the righteousness of God, and by considering the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember early in the context, he says, remember Jesus. Well, what was he to remember about Jesus? Every facet of the Lord's life. but also, I believe, to remember the righteous Savior who came to this world, and therefore not only consider the righteousness of God and the righteousness of His Son, but Timothy, now you emulate. You follow that type of an example so that you too shall be called or counted as righteous in the sight of God. Timothy, pursue righteousness. Timothy, also pursue love. Pursue the love of God, but also pursue a love that demonstrates a love towards God. And pursue a love also for your fellow man, for the enemies you have, for the brethren that you're speaking with. Timothy, make sure that you love everyone and that you love them with an agape love, the love of God. And friends, you and I also need to pursue righteousness and love and the peace of God. Why? Because if we don't have peace with God today, we will not be able to face peace eternally someday whenever we stand before Him, but rather the wrath of God. Paul closes out this section to Timothy and serves as a beautiful instruction to us of the need for Christians to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Matters of doctrine matter. Amen? And we must not ever compromise whenever it comes to matters of doctrine. Yet at the same time, we need to understand that we need to handle the Word of God in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and verse 16. And as we would then look to this context, avoid foolish or ignorant disputes, he's saying, when it comes to the trivial issues, Timothy, whenever it comes to matters of indifference, Timothy, whenever we're dealing with things that one might have an opinion on and you also have an opinion on, Timothy, don't go there. Avoid those things. Why? Because the bottom line is that it really and truly is not going to matter. If it's not a matter of doctrine, your opinion, Timothy, is just as good as anyone else's opinion. Don't go there whenever it comes to foolish or ignorant disputes. They told us whenever we were going through the school of preaching years ago, I remember it almost as if it was yesterday, Brother Tom Miller was sitting in his class in regard to the preacher and his work, and he says, guys, pick your fights. And he says, I don't mean go around picking fights. He says, you pick the fights that really and truly matter. He says, whenever it's a matter of doctrine, you stand in it. Whenever it's a matter where one member is going to tear another member to shreds, you stand and do what's supposed to be done in a Christ-like manner. Pick your fights. Don't get involved in the foolish and ignorant disputes that take place from time to time in the church. Be strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's in Jesus Christ that God's grace is extended. God's grace is extended not only for us to be able to be counted as a child of God, but friends, as we read and study and impart this lesson tonight, has explained what grace calls us to do. I want to call your attention to another passage of Scripture as we close. In the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and verse 12, as Paul is writing in this epistle to a man by the name of Titus, another young evangelist, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Jesus Christ is God's appearance of salvation. And what Christ did at Calvary's cross by dying for the sins of man has extended that invitation and that opportunity of grace to be received by all whosoever will may come. Now I want your attention to be on verse 12. Grace then teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we are to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present age. Friends, God's grace is what we must live in. God's grace is what we must be strong in. And we would do well to study, even beyond tonight, as to what it means to stand strong in that grace. Have your sins been covered in the grace of God? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, we extend the Lord's invitation to you tonight to do so, so that you too can be counted as a child of God. Maybe you're here and you are struggling with sin and you've allowed that sin to pull you away from God as a child of God. And tonight we would long for and love to be able to pray with you and for you, that you would be able to be restored back again unto a faithful relationship with God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come.